It's very nice to be back with Brampton Chinese Baptist Church. And thank you, Michael, for my introduction. You didn't say anything untrue about me. I don't know if he's here. Often I squirm because people introduce me and I don't know who they're talking about. So I get to tell you who I am. I met Pastor Ming Wong a number of years ago just as being part of our Baptist family, 90 churches. And then Elaine Kwok and Michael Yu from the church visited me about 6 summers ago, and they helped me work in Etobicoke for a summer, reaching out to newcomers. And the next summer, they said, we want to do this here in Brampton. So your two youth coordinated everything, and I was their side helper. And we started reaching out to newcomers in this neighborhood. And we've done that for 6 years, and we're going to do it again this summer. So it's so nice to come here. This is a bit like my second home. I love to come to Brampton Chinese Baptist Church. Today we're looking, all these scriptures we've heard are about peace and about the peace that God gives. And that's what I want to look at today. Our world is so lacking in any peace. And there is a peace that comes from God, and we want that. We're going to read from the book, the letter written to Ephesus. The city exists today. Ephesus is a city that is abandoned. Millions go to Turkey to see the city, and they go principally to see the places where the young church grew up and where Paul and his apostles walked. Literally the same streets upon which Paul walked or there to walk on. And the church was a growing church. It was a struggling church. Paul was one of its main leaders. And he wanted to teach the church about peace. The Christians, they were being hassled. They were being persecuted. And Paul wanted them to know about the peace. And so, listen to the reading from Ephesians 2, the second part of Paul's letter, verses 8 to 22. He writes to the Christians, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your doing. It's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, the Jews called the uncircumcised, which was made by the flesh of hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself, that Jesus, the Son of God, he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and he might reconcile us both, Jew and Gentile, to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God," a word for the church, the household of God, "built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is being joined together, growing into a holy temple of the Lord. In him, in Jesus, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Jesus the Son of God, made us God's household for his glory by the Spirit, the Trinity there, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. Well, the Ephesus church, Paul said, Jesus has made peace between you and God. But that peace also brings peace between you and your brother and sister. And you are made one now, breaking down all divisions. In the church, the household of God, Jesus is our peace. Do you need peace? There's one other word here I want to bring that John the Apostle, on the last night, Jesus gathered the disciples together, the last night Jesus had with them, and he said this, John records this, Jesus said this to them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus said these reassuring words to his disciples on his last night he spent with them. Not as the world gives. This was something that would be eternal. The same night, Jesus knew, he told them, "The temple police will come and get me. That same night, the religious leaders will condemn me. That next day, he will give his life." And yet, at that time, Jesus is saying, "I have peace. And this peace is for you disciples." Those same disciples would run in fear. One of them would be the cause, the one who had given him away. And his closest disciple, Peter, would say, "I don't even know Jesus." That was the moment that Jesus had peace, my peace that he gave to his disciples. And Jesus, knowing all of this, and he even knew that the Father would turn his back on him, that the sin of the world would be laid on Jesus' shoulders. And on that night it was that Jesus said, "I have peace and I give it to you." Oh, I want to know that peace. Don't we need that peace? This is a peace that Paul says is beyond human understanding, but even today I think we can grasp something of that peace. That peace the Bible reveals. Let us ask God to give us that peace. Lord, we need that peace. I think each one of us in our life, and maybe in our death, will need to call on the peace that Jesus gives. Let us seek that peace. The Bible tells us the false prophets say, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace at that time. No, the peace comes alone from Christ. I want to look at what the Bible says as though it were five chapters. The original peace that God gave us, fellowship with God. The forfeited peace that man lost, the fall. Peace foreseen and forespoken by the prophets, hope. Finally, peace won. Peace regained by Christ on the cross. And the last chapter I want to mention is peace fulfilled, peace lived by us, his church. So, peace is fellowship with God. Peace was forfeited by man. Peace was foreseen and foretold by the prophets. Peace was won. Our broken peace was fixed by Christ, and peace fulfilled by his church. The first chapter, peace is fellowship. Creation was fellowship. God created for fellowship. God made us that he may know us. All was created that we would be in fellowship with God. That's what he made, and that's why he made it. Peace was a beautiful relationship between God and Adam. And yet, that wasn't enough. Adam needed Eve. And so Eve was created. Again, fellowship between man and woman. And they were given a garden to tend and animals to name. They were given everything to multiply and have children. God wanted a whole family of relationships. That was what we call, the Old Testament calls, shalom, peace. We were made for peace. Well, sadly, inexplicably, that peace ended. the curtain came down on that peace. And the second chapter of the story was peace lost. What happened? Peace was forfeited by man. Everywhere, all through the ages, in all cultures, there is one objective reality. There is no peace. Peace is gone, and human efforts have tried to bring it back. Religion and ideologies, technology, curriculums, arts, much has been accomplished, but never has peace been brought back that way. The Bible records that that peace was resulted from or is lost by distrust of God, the desire for independence and self-rule. That's what Adam and Eve wanted. They fancied that they could be complete without God. No, we were made for God. When Adam and Eve heard the sound of God walking in the garden, they hid themselves and they feared. That was what they gained from their independence. Shalom was gone, but it didn't end there. The second son of Adam and Eve was envious of his brother, and he killed his brother. From then until now, war has reigned on the earth. Peace was lost as we were separated from God. But a third chapter came in the story. Though humans had lost their peace, God had never lost his peace, and God had never stopped yearning for and working to build that relationship back. Look through the prophets and you will see it over and over. We were lost, but God was not. 8 centuries before Jesus, God spoke to Isaiah. And a prophecy came in the last, saying about the last days. There's something that God will do. It's something God must do that no one else could. We read that this morning. Isaiah prophecy, to us, a child is born. His shoulders would grow. He was no normal child. His shoulders would bear the leadership of Israel. No, the world. Many would be drawn to him. People would flow to him like water. In the story, to the highest point, the highest mountain, water would flow uphill. This wasn't human effort. This is something God did. And all would come to him. Let us go up and worship him, Isaiah says. The prophecy expands. Justice for the oppressed. Wise settlement of disputes. Public health, nutrition, education, prosperity will come with Christ. Each person called, every one of us included, every one of us to play a part in this new world that Christ would bring. This shalom, in the likeness of God's first creation, God and sinner back together. Nothing to hide from, no fear. This king, his kingdom above all others, his government and peace will know no limits. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, global peace, cessation of war in the last days, we pray, come, Lord Jesus. That's part of the chapter 9 of Isaiah. What a hope for the nations, but for us in Christ, we have seen this peace, and that's the fourth chapter of the story. Peace was fought for. Peace was won by Christ. What was foreseen and foretold by the prophets came to pass. The child was born. His name was Jesus. God saves. That's what his name means. He was sent by the Father to bring back the peace that was lost. Jesus made many signs that affirm that he is the Prince of Peace. Look at all the signs, his upbringing, his life, his relationship with his parents and his community. He was seen to be a person of honor. His preaching the good news for the poor, the lost, the people who are second class. To a woman who sought Jesus' healing, he proclaimed, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." To some friends who brought a paralytic to him, seeking Jesus' blessing, "Your faith has saved you," he said. "Go in peace." By faith, everyone who came to him, he received. Let us not miss that opportunity. If you haven't come to Jesus, come to him, the living God, the Prince of Peace. He brings our lives back to God. The order to life comes through Christ. With you and your family and the church, and we prayed for this community, Jesus intends for the peace to go out beyond ourselves. Paul was giving the same assurance when he wrote to Corinth that we read. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the renewed, recreated fellowship that Jesus will bring. He gave first to Adam and Eve, and he wants to give again to us. It is a peace that was lost, but is found in Christ. The Holy Spirit and the Son, Jesus, and the Father are in perfect relationship. That is what he offers to us again. Jesus was sent back to win this through the cross. All who believe in him have this new life. This is the gospel. Our fifth chapter, the last chapter, how do we see this fulfilled now in 2018 at BCBC and in our neighborhood? The final note is our response. God has acted, but we are not passive. This new life of peace gives us the opportunity to answer. It gives us something personal to do, but it gives us something that we can only do as a church together. We've had two readings from St. Paul, one to the Corinth church, one to the Ephesian church. They're about God's salvation, both of them, making peace with God. Peace is not static. It's moving. It's growing without limits. The Holy Spirit of God is always at work in each of our lives. It empowers. It inspires us. It strengthens us. God continues to move our gaze away from self to Christ in all these books that we've read. We intentionally work out our peace in every relationship, starting with the church. St. Paul wrote to Ephesus a bit later in the letter, "Walk worthy of your calling, with humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love." Doesn't that sound like Christ, as we know he related with people? Willing to maintain the unity of the Spirit. We maintain it. We didn't make it. Christ made the unity. We maintain it. We are focused on Christ first and then on people. That's what matters most to us, loving both. We are free people, and we're responsible to be free and responsible to God and to respect others likewise. We can leave behind the old and welcome the new. We can leave behind envy and timidity and fear. We can be bold and humble. We can defend each man's dignity, seeking to express our gifts and make way for others to express theirs. In our world, there's many dividing walls that still exist, but not to us, Christ's people. We are free. Christ has brought down all dividing walls. There's no limits to what we can do and what he calls us to do. In the Ephesus city, as in most cities in the Middle East, Jew and Gentile never met. They were separated. This can't continue in the church, and it was seen in the early church. Jew and Gentile were brought together. Jesus died for all to bring us together. It's never been seen before, and there were growing pains. You can read the book of Acts. The Greek widows felt that they weren't being treated fairly along with the Hebrew widows. The church dealt with it beautifully. We see a slave that had run away from his owner. They both came to know Christ. They were brought back together. These are the things that have to happen in Christ. Until he returns, Christ brings people back together. We who receive Christ receive God's peace. We become peacemakers, collaborators with God, bringing together the most unlikely people, once enemies, to become brothers and sisters. These unions are hard to do, but it is something we can do. In Hebrews, the word goes like this: strive for the peace with everyone, for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. This is God's way. Romans, so let us pursue things that make for peace and the building up of one another. This is difficult. It's hard work. But isn't that what Christ gave us to do and the power to do it in the Spirit? Muslims have just finished their 30 days of fasting and feasting. And they're really, I don't know, I know Muslims who even throw on another week. I'm meeting a Muslim man later who's been fasting another week all week. And so I'll be there with him when he breaks the fast. You know, they fast to earn their salvation. People who feel they must work to find God's forgiveness. We have a message for them, the gospel of peace. Sikhs and Hindus work hard to cleanse themselves, to keep clean, that karma will not destroy them. There's no way of dealing with the sin in their lives. And Christ offers forgiveness. We have a message for peace. One of our callings is to proclaim this peace. A grandmother, Joni Zimmerman, who started meeting newcomer women who are shut in out in Dixon, she said something very nice one day. She said that she's a grandmother. She was saying, I'm just finding ways that God has called me, the good works he's called me to minister to people and to talk about Jesus. Likewise, I've seen teenagers do incredible things of proclaiming the gospel to people. A young woman, a high school girl, Christy, was in grade 12. She was linked up to visit a Somali, a very ardent Muslim family, a Somali family who had three daughters. And about 6 months into her weekly visits, I got a call from her father, from the father of the girls, and the Muslim father wanted to speak with me. He told me that he had been watching Christy work with his daughters, and he'd listened to her chatting with the daughters and helping them with their schoolwork. And she was also talking about her church group, her youth group. She talked a lot about her grandmother, who was a person of great love and faith in God. And she also talked about God answering many of her prayers as she worked with these young Muslim girls. The Muslim father told me that Christy's family and Christy's youth group is welcome at their home anytime. He said that he wished his daughters would grow up to be like Christy, this Christian girl. He went further to say that he's a leader in the mosque, and he was talking to the elders in the mosque because they don't give their teenagers the chance to lead prayers in the mosque or to lead the music or even to have their own youth group. And he says, we've got to change, and our model is the church, or Christians. This summer, I get to work again with Pastor Ming and with the youth here at BCBC. We're having interviews a bit later in the week, and I don't see Benjamin Chan. Oh, there he is. Benjamin's going to work with us, I think. We'd love to have Benjamin back. We're going to be in homes for the first time. Many people will have a Christian in their home. People from South Asia and the Middle East and from Africa. And we want to bring the peace of Christ with us. Would you pray for us when we do that? Pray that they will see Christ and the peace that he's given us, the forgiveness of our sins and the life with God. As we enter homes, and we're told to do by Jesus, pray that the peace of God would rest in that home. Christ is the one who brings us his peace. It is that powerful for even the cross that he faced. It is a new creation to us. He is our peace. And we, through the Holy Spirit, can proclaim and live that peace in others. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, Jesus said. Not as the world do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Amen.